Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, celebrating 30 years as local hearing healthcare professionals. With a practice featuring 5 doctors of audiology, including 2 who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient. They believe those personal partnerships are how people embrace hearing technology and keep hearing the most important sounds of their lives. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
You're listening to Bloomington Normal's Public Media. The pandemic has hurt many small businesses, but it's been especially tough for those that rely mostly on foot traffic. Eric Stock reports the pandemic has forced many mom-and-pop businesses to learn how to sell online.
Peggy Parker owns Christmas Creations in Normal. It's a holiday pop-up shop she opens every November and December. The store has been around for 40 years. Parker figures she didn't need to advertise much. When more retailers went online years ago, she viewed e-commerce as competition.
This was not going to be good for brick-and-mortar stores to be pushing people to online stores, and I couldn't understand why other businesses were doing that.
Parker had a website but did little with it. But Parker says when the pandemic hit, she didn't know if she'd be able to open her store at the Shops at College Hills this year, so she decided to focus on online retail. And it's often true in any business, it helps to know someone.
My name is Chad Parker, and I'm the CEO and president of Cybernautic.
Chad Parker runs a web design company in Bloomington, and he's Peggy Parker's son. He says the online marketing business is booming.
We got hit with a barrage of minor updates. You know, things like, we had a few products online, we need all of our products online. Or restaurants saying, hey, we don't have anything about curbside on our website. We've got to get that up right now.
Parker says most businesses are selling more online since the pandemic began. For some customers, he says e-commerce has more than doubled over the last year. Patrick Hoban is president and CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. He says the pandemic gave that last push for many smaller companies to dive into digital.
You know, in the past, if the system's not broke, there's no reason to fix it. So if you're a business that's here in town and you count on a lot of word of mouth and walk-in traffic, it wasn't really necessary. Some of that's been eliminated now, so it's time to adapt to the 21st century.
The EDC is issuing forgivable loans to small businesses to offset some pandemic-related costs. McLean County is funding the program. Hoban says many retailers have to spend more on technology now.
I think the pandemic has done that for most businesses and organizations across the board, whether that's adapting to online file sharing or using Zoom or using these new online ordering systems. It's definitely pushed everyone towards that direction.
These unexpected costs come at a time when the pandemic has upended much of the economy. Karen Busoni runs the McLean County Small Business Development Center. She says spending thousands for a revamped website isn't possible for many mom-and-pop retailers.
And Amazon has the financial resources to do that, and small businesses don't. It costs a lot of money to create a website from scratch, especially if you use a marketing company.
The SBDC offers free consultation for all kinds of business needs. Students at Illinois State and Illinois Wesleyan Universities offer web design and social media marketing strategies. Busoni says, so what if these Gen Zers haven't run a business? She says they are the digital natives you need.
They believe in e-commerce, and that's a convenience. Consumer trends is very convenient, and they love convenience.
Busoni says the SBDC's requests for assistance are up nearly 40% this year. And online retail is about more than just hawking your wares.
You don't want every single post to be, please buy our stuff. Our stuff is the best.
Ashley Sang of Bloomington is a social media consultant. She focuses on what she calls purpose-driven businesses. She encourages clients to use their digital platforms to show their humanity, the causes they support, and how their customers' dollars can serve a greater purpose.
Anyone could shop at a big box store. Anyone could shop at whatever is the most convenient, but they choose to go to you because your business is doing something right. Your business is doing something that they believe in.
One way some like to show their humanity is through humor.
My kids are both pretty funny kids. I'm probably not very funny. I think I am sometimes.
John Serta owns Shinoa Fitness Center in northern McLean County. That's one of the businesses that got marketing help from the Small Business Development Center. Serta's son produces lighthearted videos on Facebook to attract customers for their events, including wine yoga and cardio drumming.
This is Dylan here at the Shinoa Fitness Center. Today, we're going to be doing a little giveaway for Small Business Saturday. I put a post out there. The picture was of some ants building a small business. I thought that was kind of cute. Check it out.
Serta says bringing in out-of-towners is key. Shinoa's population is less than 2,000.
Nobody in Bloomington was going to know about that unless we had pushed that on the social media and put it on the website. And since we did that, we were able to pick up people from those locations.
Peggy Parker at Christmas Creations redid her holiday store website this year. That includes a web address change to Christmas Creations USA. It shows she'll ship anywhere across the country. Parker says she now gets 25% of her business online. She even sells on Amazon. She says that makes it easier for her to buy product because if something doesn't sell in Bloomington Normal, someone somewhere will probably buy it.
My whole mindset has changed to you have to be there. If you're going to be in business, you have to be online or you're not going to survive.
Parker says she now considers her website as her second store. She now sells handmade ornaments throughout the year, not just during the holidays. I'm Eric Stock.
The U.S. Department of Commerce reports e-commerce sales made up 10% of all retail sales last year. That rose to 16% in the second quarter of this year. Karen Busoni with the Small Business Development Center at Illinois Wesleyan University says the online trend will likely continue after the pandemic is over. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Jim Lathrop has been helping student athletes build their bodies for decades. Now his body is breaking down. The strength and conditioning coach for Illinois State University Athletics is retiring to focus on his own health. Lathrop tells Eric Stock he's been coping with Parkinson's disease for more than a decade. That and a host of other ailments, he says, make it tough to do a physically demanding job.
It makes it hard getting around as much as I need to be able to, in my opinion. I can't, do things like, spot somebody or pick up weights or those kinds of things right now yet. And that's something that's kind of an important part of all that. And so, it is what it is, it's one of those things that you have to be able to try to deal with and whatnot. But by the same token, you would like to be able to do that to make your, to do those things that are important, Sure. In terms of what we're trying to accomplish and that kind of thing. And so, it's things that I started to feel like I wasn't able to capably do the way I would want to do it. I'm kind of an old run through the wall type guy. I'm just going to keep pounding away at it until, cooler heads prevail or something. And finally, I just made the judgment that it was time, and it's an appropriate time for me to kind of step away now.
How would you sum up the evolution of strength and conditioning over the years? College athletes look far, far different than they did 10, 20, 30 years ago when you first started. Mm-hmm. How has it changed?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I've had the good fortune really to see the kind of a long, long evolution of all this. Right before I got into it, it was about just lifting weights. Well, as time evolved and by the time I'd gotten there, then obviously speed development and conditioning and all those kinds of things were important relevant parts of what we did. So it was developing and organizing structured workouts that would address that and in a way that was going to be effective and all that kind of stuff. And so, to now, I mean, now we're taking care of everything from nutrition to flexibility to, all the whole gamut of things, which we really started back then, and that's how we evolved it.
Are there some of the old beliefs that hung around for years that you look back at now and think, well, why did we think that way?
You go through different phases and that kind of thing of things. It always seems like the sound basic stuff comes back though, and sometimes we drift off into little eddies or, off to the extremes and the tangents and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it always really has to eventually come back to the basic stuff, functioning movements, foundational movements that are important to any sport.
So ISU football coach Brock Speck gives you a lot of credit for how you've helped get his teams in the kind of physical shape that they need to compete at a top level. And part of that, as you say, is motivation, putting in the work. How have you done that to keep these guys motivated to put in that work?
The motivational part of things is built in part through you showing, one, that you care about them, two, in showing that what they're doing is going to be beneficial for them. So looking at you know, how they're progressing and that kind of thing is important. Sure. I want them to feel like we could call up Alabama and on any given Saturday, we could find the way to go out and beat them and have the confidence in their body and be able to do that, or to be able to go out and put yourself into the top 10 or the top 5 of the FCS, you know, and week in and week out play at that kind of a level. You know, that's ultimately, to me, those are the really motivating things.
That's retiring ISU strength and conditioning coach Jim Lathrop with Eric Stock. Lathrop says he does rock steady boxing. It's a common physical therapy for Parkinson's. He says he hopes to become an instructor. You're listening to Bloomington Normal's Public Media. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Congressman Darren LaHood says getting a new coronavirus relief package passed remains his top priority this month, even if it means he has to stay in Washington, D.C. until it gets done. Tim Shelley talks with him about the status.
We're doing everything we can to try to find common ground and collaboration to get a coronavirus relief stimulus package done. I remain optimistic. What I have said is Nancy Pelosi ought to keep us in D.C. Until we get it passed. We have an obligation and responsibility to the American public to get it done. And so I'm working with my colleagues to try to come up with a compromise to get it passed.
There's a lot of talk about what might or might not be in it. Another stimulus. There's talk of state and local government aid, you know, liability protection. What exactly are the sticking points here right now?
Well, for my district in Central and West Central Illinois, we need to help out our small businesses, whether it's the motor coach industry like Peoria Charter Coach, or whether it's our family-owned restaurants, whether it's our banquet facilities and catering entities. Or anybody that's in the travel industry, the hospitality industry, or lodging, we have to help them. And so PPP funding, the Paycheck Protection Program, was a lifeline to those small businesses back in the spring. And now we need to have more funding to help those small businesses. Because what I worry about, Tim, is many of those entities that I just mentioned are not going to make it through the winter months unless we're there to help. And so I think first and foremost, we have to have funding for small businesses through the PPP program to give them the resources to get through the next 6 to 9 months. Secondly, I think we have to have money for our state and states, and particularly for our cities and municipalities. I look at cities like the city of Peoria. The last thing that they ought to be doing is laying off firefighters and police officers and city workers because the federal government hadn't come through with resources to help them for revenue loss because of COVID. We haven't given enough money yet there, and so I'm supportive of that. Thirdly, I think we need to have liability protection for our businesses because the last thing that they need to worry about is being sued by class action lawsuits because of COVID. This isn't anything they asked for. This is something obviously that they've been mandated through our governor and to be shut down, and so liability protection needs to be in there. And then obviously help for unemployment benefits, not at $600 a week, but something around $200 or $300 for unemployment benefits for people that are going to lose those benefits, particularly around the holidays. We have to be there for those. So those are four things that I want to see in a coronavirus stimulus relief package, and hopefully we can get it done.
So you're hoping to get this done before the end of this year?
Well, I think we got to get it done either this week or next week. We first of all, we can't leave for Christmas without getting it done. And like I said, Nancy Pelosi ought to make sure that all of the members of Congress don't leave until we get it passed. So I think we have this week and next week to try to get that done.
Congressman, what are some of your other priorities here as we're looking towards the end of 2020 and moving into 2021?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we need to get beyond the coronavirus pandemic. And now that's not easy, but I'm optimistic about the vaccines. We have to make sure that they are distributed, and particularly our frontline healthcare workers get them first. then our vulnerable population, particularly our older folks, and then people that have pre-existing conditions. So we have to do that. But the goal ought to be, as we look to 2021, is to get back to the economy we had pre-COVID. Tim, if you go back and look at January and February before COVID, we had the best economy in my lifetime. There was record low unemployment, record low unemployment in the African-American community, Hispanic community, across all sectors. Stock market was doing well. We need to get back to that. And so as I look at priorities, it'll be getting the economy back on track and getting people working again after COVID. Those are a few areas that I look forward to working on with my colleagues in the new Congress.
That's Tim Shelley's interview with Congressman Darren LaHood. Kirby Medical Center in Piatt County is one of 53 critical access hospitals in Illinois. That's a federal designation for hospitals that provide essential health services in rural areas. The Monticello Hospital has an emergency department and 16 inpatient beds. Christine Herman speaks with Kirby Medical Center CEO Stephen Tenhouse about the recent uptick in hospitalizations.
We haven't seen really a significant amount of COVID patients within those inpatient beds, but you know, what we're feeling is obviously the compression from the hospitals around us that are seeing a lot more. It's also flu season, so people just typically are sicker this time of year and generally need more hospitalizations. So those two things combined have definitely pushed our census and the patients we see to a higher level.
So you're saying that you're seeing more patients from the area who might typically go to other places for care? Or are you seeing patients from other areas coming to you because maybe other hospitals are filling up?
It's a little bit of both. It's just, it's hard for, it's not impossible, but it is more difficult this year than ever before for patients to get a timely hospitalization. And therefore, I think we are seeing some of that here. But, you know, again, you know, we're a community hospital. We provide great care, and you know, it's great to see people trust us with that care too.
I've looked at statewide data on hospital capacity, and at least for ICU beds, lots of regions across the state are 80% or nearing that point. Have you guys gotten to the point of being concerned about capacity?
Well, we don't have an ICU here at Kirby Medical Center. So any ICU patients would be transferred to another hospital around us. And that, you know, at times has been difficult, you know, to find a placement. But, you know, we can still isolate patients and manage them that aren't in need of an intensive care unit here at Kirby. And that has been some of the uptick on the inpatient side that we have seen, is just caring for those patients locally.
Can you talk about what that process is like, and if it's gotten more challenging to find a space for patients that need a higher level of care? When I attended a recent Champaign County press conference, OSF and Carl representatives were there, and I believe both of them mentioned that they get calls from rural hospitals and that they're getting calls from farther and farther away than they typically get to get patients transferred in, and that many of those hospitals will say, you're the 10th place, 15th place we've call to find a bed for this patient. Have you encountered those kinds of scenarios as a rural hospital trying to find a place for a patient?
Yes, and a lot of times it will depend on what the patient's care need is. Maybe will impact, you know, the type of bed that's needed and what's available. But yes, and again, I would say, especially this year and this time of year, it has been more difficult, and it's no one's fault. It's the result of the pandemic and the spread of COVID. But again, you know, all those hospitals around us do a fantastic job of trying to accommodate what that need. And our emergency department physicians, you know, or our hospitalist group will communicate with those other hospitals to, again, to try to find that placement and to get that patient moved to that higher level of care.
That's Kirby Medical Center CEO Stephen Tenhouse speaking with Christine Herman. This is WGLT. You may want to spare a few moments to glance at the night sky this Sunday or early next Monday. The peak of the Geminid meteor shower is fast approaching. Student reporter Olivia Streeter tells us how to watch the show.
Curator of Science and the Planetarium Director at the Peoria Riverfront Museum, Renee Kerrigan, says that the Geminid meteor shower is an event that happens every year, when the Earth passes through the dust trail left behind by a comet.
When the little pieces of dust from this comet enter the Earth's atmosphere, the friction from the high speed of the dust moving through the air of the atmosphere creates that beautiful streak of light that we think of as a shooting star.
Kerrigan says that the best way to view the Geminids is by getting to the darkest spot you can find. She says that this year the moon is in the right phase of light to allow an optimal Geminid viewing experience.
All meteor showers are fun events to observe because, you know, it's just really exciting to see that beautiful streak of light going through the sky. And this year in particular, there's no bright moon blocking out the light of the meteor. So it's an extra good year for observing. You might be able to catch up to 150 meteors per hour.
Kerrigan encourages everyone, regardless of astrological experience, to take some time to pause and look up at the sky.
Astronomy is a hobby that everybody can enjoy. It costs no money to be able to go outside and look up. It's good for all of us to spend a little time outside and looking at the sky. It can be a really enjoyable pastime.
For more information on the Geminids and how to view them, visit WCBU.org. I'm Olivia Streeter.
Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.